is a production of Cornell University.
First on our agenda is roll call, but before we get around to that, because our clerk, Chelsea, is passing out papers, we're going to go around and introduce ourselves really quickly. Great. So, Chelsea, would you mind calling the roll?
Here.
Unexcused.
So before we can do anything, because it's a new year, everyone has to take the oath of office. So what we're going to do, everyone has a sheet of paper in front of them. We're all going to stand up and say it together, and then what we'll do is sit down and sign them and bring them back to the office. Yeah, so everyone can repeat after me if that's easier. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor,
I do
solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will speak out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students. And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Great, everyone can take a seat. Don't forget to sign those and give them back to either me or Chelsea at the end of the meeting. So now that you are all sworn in, we can approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting on May 1st, 2014. Unless there is any dissent to the minutes, I am going to call to approve them by unanimous consent. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next is PBP Batista.
Hello, if anybody in the audience would like to speak, please come forward to the microphone and state your name and your name. Great, you have 4 minutes.
Okay, I'd like to let you guys know that right now is an opportunity to help out students who will be called upon possibly in the entire city.
not really sexy. But we have the, amazing opportunity to get it repealed at the city level. Also, we have the opportunity to start flexing our, muscles, not flexing our muscles, but really like exercising our muscles, so we actually have muscles to start communicating with other legislative bodies in the city. I'd really like you guys to consider taking a position on this, even if it's individually. Just like, hey, I don't like getting fined for leaving my car on the place for 24 hours. Maybe you can take that out. It was really unfortunate last year that we didn't get involved in call center reform district. You probably heard the report recently that Hitchcock is the 11th least affordable community in the country, coming right between New York City at number 10 and Napa Valley at number 12. And that is entirely, or almost entirely, because of bad zoning. Zoning that hurts students most of all. So, please get involved.
Excellent, thank you. I know we've been talking about this, Max. Does anybody in the audience or representative have a comment? Thaddeus, or question?
I have a question.
Even on parking, it is a practice, a snow clearing practice, where during winter months, the winter season, everybody parks on the street, will move their car from one side of the road to the other every other day, and even off sides of the road. What that means is that it pulls off half the road parking so that it can be clean, and also it means that you can't park for any place in more than 24 hours. The penalty for violating even odds is a $15 ticket. It's also a very convenient for a lot of students.
Rafael,
yeah, so what exactly would you like to do? What is the call to action?
The call to action would be to support Representative Smith and support Representative Murtaugh, as well as the mayor, in their attempt to repeal the entire thing. They do have a very good proposal to put into place that would allow students to park on both sides of the street for 6 days in a row, and also provide emergency pricing for use of a city parking garage. Now, this isn't changing supply when students aren't, but students make their decision to bring a car by August for the most part. In August, there isn't even an off. There are 24 hour zones, and those can go away too. But there isn't even an off. So, there just isn't changing the supply of parking when they're making their choices. It won't really change the price of parking. So, it's not going to be a huge encouragement for students to bring cars. That's not the goal. The goal is to keep students from having to deal with daily hassle that's sometimes dangerous. Down
AC
sidewalk or move their car
when
they have to
know.
Not productive.
Anyone else like to be on the speaker list? Seeing none, thank you, Max, for definitely being in touch with you. Would anybody else in the audience like to speak during open microphone? Seeing none, we're going to close open microphone.
Next on our agenda is announcements and reports. The only announcement that we have today is from Vice President of Finance, Mr. Banco.
Great. So in a matter of transparency and just an update on one of the events that happened this summer, we hosted our first alumni event in New York City. And overall, the event itself was a success. A lot of members of old assemblies as well as the most recent assembly attended, and it was a great way to bond and hear about history and all the good stuff that comes with that. Unfortunately, there were some budgeting issues that caused the amount of money to be spent on the event to go from what we believed very early on was a reasonable number that was going to be around $1,400 or $1,500 for the entire event to a much higher number, around $2,400. Unfortunately, you know, that happened, but we were still under budget overall last year by about half, and we're planning on cutting down food expenditures for a lot of our meetings this year to make up for the fact that we overspent that event. So we just wanted to fill you in on that, and because it was kind of a non-traditional form of spending, so if you see that show up on budget, that's why. Thanks.
Yeah.
So at this event, we overspend it, and now we have to pay for it by having us here at the
meeting? No, I mean, I think that we were spending too much money on food at our meetings in the first place. I mean, this is a overall push toward making spending at meetings more efficient. Basically, the idea is that if we're telling other Byline-funded organizations that they need to spend their money more efficiently in regards to food at meetings, we're going to be doing today. I mean, they're connected, though.
Yeah, the expenses at this weren't planned. There were a lot of alumni who were supposed to fly in and didn't, and the Cornell Club ended up charging us a lot of money for people who didn't come. Next on our agenda today is business of the day. The first thing would be approval of the 2014-2015 standing rule by Executive Vice President Batista. Jordan, would you mind explaining the procedures for this?
Approval of the 2014-2015 standing rule will require a majority vote of the board members.
Everybody, that's the first resolution of the year. I just want to quickly go through the amendments that we have added to the standing rules or the new standing rules. This is also been referred by the executive committee, and then I will take some questions. So the first thing you see in the preamble and number two is that the standing rules can't be voted on during the year. We actually don't have that standing. Therefore, rule number five, which is amendment, that we need early. We also set out a section that said that members for an organization meeting of the new members should come for their full year's offices, and we specify that in the section. And then we will also see under the committee, I believe it is section two, rule number five, that a resolution must be agreed by committee 30 days before it comes to the floor, but it also has to be approved by the committee to come to the floor before it can be put to the agenda. So that would be Tuesday afternoon this year. Also, we did have to say that there's a written summary that has to be included by committee when they submitted something to the agenda and they're called for that, so we change it to say that committee members during general body meetings what the committee's plan to work on instead of having an actual formal stuff. And then not doing work. Also, we had something in the standing rules that we all knew that the IOP would always, you know, during the executive committee, the attendance for all members. We decided that the only requested matters of attendance to be known during the executive committee. And we did the requirement to say that your signatures needed to be included with the official Cornell website. Again, something that we're calling the QR, we thought was unnecessary, but it's just it, but it should be included in the standard rules. And we needed the CEO to not really have that question. And then finally, one thing that we did was we increased special projects to be approved by the community finance and president to $250 to $400. Because we thought that it was too small of a number and we have funds to do more on campus, and we think that there's going to be more to be able to push forward projects that we are interested in. So that's what there is. If only the specific rule number of any new changes, I can register that.
Great. You actually have a couple of minutes. Would you like to explain what the standing rules are?
Sure. So the standing rules First of all, they should be brought forward to the Assembly at the beginning of each year as part of our governing documents with our charter and bylaws. However, they do change this year. So that's how you bring them forward, and it depends on the Assembly, how they all these individuals to govern general meeting procedures, to ask that committee, how resolutions are brought forward, that's not specifically addressed by the charter, because those are more broad than they need to report.
Great. So first on our speakers list is Representative Alicorn.
From what I see, like, Rule 5 on the second page and Rule 4 on the third page are cut off. So it's fine.
Right. We have a small printing error. It cuts you off at Rule 4. I can read out the only thing that we changed on the last page. It's Rule 5 of the Category of Funding of the Section of Spending Guidelines. It says that the FX government and vice president combined together may approve any special project funding request up to $400 without compensation with the appropriations committee. Amounts up to $400 may also be funded by a majority vote of the appropriations committee. Requests must be made by a council, made public at the June Assembly meeting in the form of an announcement or report before being approved. And again, the voting member for motion requests to be sent to the appropriations committee. So, still, even if the DC finance and president approved it, it's still to be sent back to the appropriations committee if a member of the general body feels that it's appropriate.
Parliamentary Inverter.
Can we also change the change to 50 to 400?
So would you like to read Rule 6 governing the audience? Rule 6 is the appropriation committee shall decide upon the special project request over 250. Do you want to change that to 400? I can hear you. Okay. So both of them have said 250. The special project requests over 400 and 1500 by the year. The FX large waiver is the appropriation position to fund the number of 400 by the year. So I'm going to make a motion, or I'm going to make a motion to amend that. The 250, 400.
So there's a motion on to amend on the floor. Is there a second? Okay. Now that there's a second, we can go into debate on this motion. Would anyone like to be on the speaker's list for this motion?
Motion to vote.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion to vote. If you are in, there was a second. If you are in favor of this, please raise your placard. Okay, you can put your placards down. If you are opposed to this, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 17-0-0, this amendment passes, and now we're back into general debate. Trustee Gitlin is the next on the speaking list. Is there anyone else who would like to speak, or are there any other motions on the floor?
Motion to call to question.
There's been a call to question. There's a second. Now we're going to go into voting on this as long as there is no dissent. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we need a majority vote to pass this. If you are in favor of the standing rules as is, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to the standing rules, as is, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. Seeing none, the standing rules for the 2014-2015 school year have passed. Thank you very much, Liliana. Now, Next on business of the day is approval of the 2014-2015 operating budget. Jordan, would you like to explain?
Approval of the operating budget will require a majority vote of the members of the CFA.
Great. So I sent this out, I think, a couple weeks ago, and hopefully you had a chance to look at it. The only change, which is minor, that has been made since the last email that I sent to you, was we reduced the amount that Diversity and Inclusion Initiative got by 400, and we directed that towards the Community Design Committee. The reason for that being the conversation just following regarding a $5,000 grant. Going towards their initiatives that money should be more efficiently spent on healthcare. And Emma has suggested to me that she would like to increase flexibility in terms of further spend. If you look at the operating budget, the only areas in which we are decreasing the amount being spent versus what was actually spent last year was administrators, as well as the appropriations committee and diversity and inclusion initiatives, like I mentioned earlier. If you have any other questions about my rationale for whether it's money being spent or hopefully being spent, you can ask those now.
First on our speaker list is Representative Valleycon.
I remember last time where D.G. Henderson went to the student assembly, and there was talk about how it was not as useful as event to go to as it is in the past. So I was wondering why there's the same amount of allocation in the budget, and are we going to continue going to events that isn't that
official,
especially since
we're
cutting down on other costs as well.
Sure. So we haven't formally discussed that project yet, and I think we're more than able to do throughout this year that money's not spent there, reallocated to other places within the budget. I checked it where it was around last year because we hadn't decided that we were going to spend anybody there, so my assumption was still being told that we were going to not spend any there, but we're still having money budgeted. I'm more than open to have a conversation with Matt and the community to spend in regard to getting rid of that sector.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Val.
Could you clarify why certain institutions that budget the amount budgeted for this year is over 2,000 more than we spent last year, and also for elections? Why was the budget for the deficit in the 2014 year so high, and why was there a $6,000 reduction?
Sure. So I think in terms of communication and getting, we wanted to spend more last year, and throughout the second semester and the end of the first semester, a lot of the momentum that was being built up by the public relations dropped off. So when speaking with Lindsay about the work that she's planning on doing this year, we're fairly certain that spending patterns, if they're held according to the first couple months, they reach around that area, and so that's why we built in 4,000. I don't exactly know the rationale for the 10,300. I know that entering the election cycle last year, the director of elections, Nubia, had a lot of big plans for the elections, in which I don't know if they were cheaper or we didn't fall through on all of them, but there's a big difference in the amount being spent. Looking at the budget, I thought 4,000 was a reasonable amount. Push had decided that he wanted to do a lot more than what was done last year, so we have that, you know, different budget out there. Hopefully that answers the question. Yeah, no problem.
Representative Bradley.
I know you mentioned $5,000 to the community diversity.
Yeah, I'll just throw that to Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion.
What was the question again?
You mentioned $5,000 that was.
You just want to talk about it.
Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to just clarify. I'm not going to the assembly before. It's 4,000, if I'm not wrong. Yes, it's a $4,000 endowment that was given by VP Susan Murphy for Diversity and Inclusion Initiative. While I understand that this would not be included in operating expenses, I'm very sure that CCD will be spending time on a project using this money. So given that, I feel I felt that community life required more money, they should be given it. And if we do require more than a given amount, I'm sure the Appropriations Committee could reallocate that.
Yes, the conversation is basically that I think there's a lot of overlap between what that grant is spent on this year and what that normal allocation is spent on. So, keeping it in the back of my mind in certain areas that later in the year, the original 400 that we cut from that budget to get to MLS necessary, I'm ready to reallocate that. But for the most part, I'm very confident that the grant will cover the same sort of issues.
Next on our speakers list is our Residential Student Council, Representative Daniel.
Hi, just a quick question for you. Like, I'm on the Residential Student Council, and we also fund the events there. I'm just curious what the 1,200 budget was comprised of, what type of events planned, and why it was raised up, like, spending that on the budget last year.
Sure. So, community life committee was in it. I chaired the community life committee last year, actually, and we spent on a couple of initiatives. We did a university training program that cost a good chunk of that money. We're looking into, and I'm not going to mention some of the initiatives that we're hoping to work on this year, so that's something that we think might be beneficial. But it was in its first year last year, and we realized the scope of the community life committee was a lot larger than even I had thought when entering being chair last year. And so we wanted to increase the amount of money that she had to work with, because her committee really does cover a huge amount of initiatives that come through the student assembly.
Next on our speakers list is Vice President Bhandari.
Okay. So I have a quick question regarding the summary. So a couple of expenses of the summary, if you could speak to what that.
So total expenses, that's 1,500?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the public service tax. So what happened was there was some miscommunication with a business. There's been some miscommunication over the past 2 or 3 years with Public Service Center regarding the money we've been spending on guidebooks. We've been scheduled to give them $500 for the past 3 years, but for whatever reason, previous Vice President Finance did not or be able to come out with in there, but at some point the trigger was pulled to actually get that money. And given that we ran around $15,000-$20,000 surplus last year and that we had some room in the budget, we decided to completely come to kind of equality with the Public Service Center and pay for $500 over the past 3 years, which totaled $1,500. And that's already been paid out of the account. That's why that's there.
Before I move on to the second speakers list, which is basically just people who want to speak again that have spoken before, is there anyone else who hasn't spoken who would like to speak? Then Representative Alexander, call you.
Yeah, I'm just going to speak with the additional grant funding that I've received. Okay. So is it $5,000 or $4,000? Where is it coming from?
So this is an allocation Vice President Susan Murphy is giving in light of both United Student Body and the new position for VP of ENI and the new diversity and inclusion initiatives they're taking. There's no clear purpose for it developed yet, but hopefully these two committees that are associated with diversity and inclusion initiatives, one is CCB and the other is CDAC, could possibly develop a new initiative for the use of this funding. And so in the light of that, I felt that if another committee needed an increment
where they were very confident they needed the increment. I said it was fine to reallocate back to them, and if we ever need more than the amount granted towards us, I said we could ask back and get that done.
This was a meeting
Great. Is there anyone else who would like to speak, or are there any motions on the floor?
Motion to vote.
There's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, it is time to vote. Oh, there's dissent. Okay. For dissent, you would have 30 seconds to just explain why you are dissenting. Okay, now that he has a question, we can go, I will allow your dissent, we can go back and you can ask the question.
So I have just a quick background on special projects. When Jeff transitioned into the position, one of the things he spoke about wanting to do more of is using those funds. Typically they're when the student assembly, each assembly member had an initiative that they've been working on that needs funding. Jeff kind of communicated to me that the reason we didn't spend the amount that we didn't really spend the amount that was allocated to be busy with funding, and that takes a lot of time. Another reason was kind of the bureaucracy associated with it. That was one of the reasons why we increased the amount from $250 to $400, so we had to increase flexibility. From my past on the student assembly, and Sarah might be able to speak a little bit better because she's been on it for longer, but it's tough to kind of call when the special projects are going to be before they happen. Typically, they're projects that aren't able to be planned for, and they're in response, a lot of times they're in response to incidents on campus, where the student assembly gets things to act fast, but it's not something that we have budget or plan for, and we keep that kind of reserved amount to spend that amount of money. I thought $3,000 was an appropriate amount given historical spending prior to this, and I think she can see it if you want to see it. But we plan on using it, and if it doesn't look like it's going to be used, I will make sure to indicate to other communities that it's available money today.
Great. So unless there's any other dissent, I think we can go back to voting.
Motion.
All right, there's a motion to vote, and it's been seconded, and seeing no more dissent, we can vote. Please raise your placard if you would like to approve the 2014-2015 operating budget. Please raise your placard if you oppose the 2014-2015 operating budget. Please raise your placard if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 17-0-0, the operating budget passes. Next on our agenda is new business, Resolution 3, approval of the Elections Committee slate. Jordan, would you like to explain?
Approval of Elections Committee slate is currently in business. Approval of Elections Committee slate is used in operations. It will require a majority vote of voting members from the election.
You have 4 minutes.
Okay. So I'll just give a little background on why this is coming up. So the Elections Committee are at this meeting responsible for running and organizing the fall and spring elections. Every year, at the beginning of the year for the fall elections, we're supposed to staff and approve an election committee slate. This committee is chaired by our CEO, John Reinkopf. It has 10 members, and less than half of those members are allowed to be for this number, the executive board decided that with a deadline for applications for the elections committee, we decided on September 2nd, which is next weekend. We pushed it back later than we completed in past years because we thought it would help us fill a larger applicant pool, and that it wasn't fair to the deadline to do like the first day of classes or before everyone can get back on campus. And so, so the reason is we have a partial slate right now is because the committee is still open for applications over the next 5 or so days. Next week, the outreach will be done. Chris and I will sit down to staff the committee, the last 6 people. That night, the staffing committee will approve or disapprove the slate, and then it will come back here on Thursday for a full slate of all 10 people for us to approve or disapprove of in its entirety. And so, right now we have 4 members on the committee out of the total 10, and the 4 members are all FA members. There's questions that the majority of the committee is collecting FA members. These 4 members, Saeed Al-Iman, Sarah Bailey, Matt Henderson, and Lisa Liu, are all either seniors or not eligible for election last year. And the reason is because members of this committee are not allowed to run for an election while there is a full year that's up to this committee. So these 4 members will be eligible to run for a student assembly position in the spring for the following school year. And so, unless there are, I also have to see if there's any questions before I motion, before I vote.
So, is there anyone who has any questions?
Okay, yeah, I motion to vote on this next week.
Okay, so there's been a motion and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'd like to approve this by unanimous consent. Great, so by unanimous consent, we will see this slate again next week. Thank you very much, Matt. Next on the agenda is Resolution 4, addressing the Student Activity Fee Endowment Fund. Jordan, would you like to speak about it?
Addressing the Student Activity Endowment Fund is a charter change. It will require 2/3 vote of the entire voting membership of the Student Assembly to pass, and it cannot be voted on today.
You have 4 minutes.
Great. So, Rhiannon and I have been putting in a decent amount of work on this summer. Luckily, the previous Vice President of Finance has done a lot of work establishing this endowment fund, and it was passed last year at the last meeting, and Senator President Gordon, who had a few very minor edits. They basically were one misspelling, and then one some clarification regarding what we would do with the endowment fund that we already have. So a little bit of history for the new assembly members. About 13 or 14 years ago, the FAA decided that they wanted to try to endow the FAFD. The FAFD at this point is about $1.5 to $2 million behemoth, which if you were to endow off of interest of 4 or 5%, it would require $110 or so. And we did the math on how long it would take for the amount for that to accumulate, and it was about $21.50. So we decided that it wasn't very practical to wait until 2050 for this to happen. So we decided to try to put this money to use in a better way. And the way we're hoping to do that is by starting up the Student Assembly Infrastructure Fund. And that's going to be aimed at developing infrastructure for office on campus. We decided infrastructure for a couple of reasons. First, we decided that non-infrastructure projects can lots of times be political. Not that infrastructure projects can't, but that people's pet projects on campus generally don't revolve around making the IOR lounge better or planting more trees. So we thought that was a better way for the community to get that. And the second reason was given the way that Cornell's kind of construction cycle works is that they wait a really long time and then they totally forget the building. And so while that's great for the new buildings you have to get year on year to connect and completed, there's also some issues with building it all the time. If you had $30,000 to $40,000 to rent a room. That would go a long way. Because there wasn't a lot of changes to this, we are hoping that this passes throughout the week, but we were open to answer questions now and later. So what Rhiannon has been planning actually on is kind of extending it for next year, which is something that wasn't worked on very much. So she can run through our thoughts on that.
Yeah, so
she
does
all the changes should have been underlined. It didn't go through. But you should have seen the underlined changes in the attachment on the email that Juliana sent out to you. Sorry about that. But it's also in the it's also in the back. There's two copies of it, so it's the second. Is there anyone who would like to speak? Any questions? That's Alexandra.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm implementing the publicity plan and how we want to get some changes going on. So there's definitely University of North Chapel Hill and doing with a few other universities. We want to know people that are doing something similar to this. So definitely.
Yeah, I'm not sure which college that you're modeling thought of, but it would definitely be, this idea was not our own in terms of the appropriation. I think you were the one who brought it up there. When we were modeling the way this was going to set up, we looked at a lot of other existing universities, so that's certainly something that was going to be considered.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Representative Liu.
Motion.
I was going to say that it's a pretty big change, and we're really trying to get this rolling because I think we can do a lot of good over the next year. So if you have any questions over the next week, I encourage you to reach out to Ian Lee or Anna to ask questions if you'd like to see kind of go smoothly over the next week. With big issues like this, it's not going to come up in class. So I'm sure this is our question.
Vice President Hale.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand this. So when we say that if the money is not used by SAIS, it goes back into the student activity fee, so do we allocate less money to the coming year?
No, so the student activity fee, which is a grant funding, is separate from the student activity fee endowment fund, which as when I was kind of talking through the history, the endowment fund was funded through the SAIS, that's why I have that title. So they're completely different accounts. So this won't impact pipeline funding of any the student activity fee, no matter what's being spent. You kind of look at the endowment fund and the SAIS as separate, and they'll just continue to get the money.
No, no, I'm saying so. Suppose the SAIS doesn't use all their money, it goes back to the endowment fund.
Yep.
So for the coming year, does SAIS get, like, you know?
Yeah, so that's one of the details that we're, I understand the question now. That's one of the details we're looking to work out. What our, and Brian and I will model that, but basically our goal is to make sure that what the principal is now stays where it's at, and whatever is available that isn't the principal will be able to spend in the following year. That's the goal. We don't want the principal to grow, basically, is the point of that.
Motion to postpone until next week.
There's a motion on the floor, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Yeah, I don't think there was a motion.
What?
They didn't know what the motion
was. Oh, the motion was to postpone this until next week? Seeing none, that means that by unanimous consent, it will be postponed until our September 4th meeting. Before I adjourn, so we can go to the bear walk, though, Lindsay has one quick announcement, and it would also be great if you guys could help us clean up, and then we'll all walk to College Town together to go to the bear walk.
Guys, as most of you know, there's a ton of outreach events coming soon. Your way. Yasmin and I, and the entire executive board, really helped to make this semester really strong and make everyone aware of what the something is going on and what we're about. So basically, keep in touch with a lot of emails soon coming my way, and all of that volunteer. We're going to have a huge outreach event on September 9th and September 12th. 12:30 p.m. Uncle Plaza, where we'll be giving out free frozen yogurt, all from Smart Yogurt, to Shivani Post Yogurt, you know about it, and it's really exciting, and each and every one of you help to serve out the frozen yogurt and vegetables to around thousands of people on Uncle Plaza, so any of you help to advertise. You've seen all the posters and banners that I've made, and I really want to make this semester off to a good start, so guys.
Yeah, it's also free ice cream, so why not? So, I guess at...
Motion to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. And a second. So at 5:38 p.m., we are adjourning the meeting. Please help us clean up, and we'll walk over to College Town together. Also, hand in your oath of offices to us.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.